I am so excited to get to share what the Lord has put on my heart tonight. I love His Word. You know, a lot of times I'm doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes things of the church, you know, the administrative kind of end of things, and it's nice when I get to come and when the Lord wants to use me in this way. And I put it before God a long time ago. If He wants to use me, I'm here, and if He wants to use me in the pulpit, I'm here, but if He needs other things from me, I'll do whatever it is. Yeah. And so that really needs to be our heart, but it is a blessing when the Lord puts a good revelation, understanding of something on your heart, and you get to share it with somebody else. Yes, yes. And so tonight's message is called Be Stirred and Be Stirring. Praise yes. God. So we're going to get into that. Be stirred and be stirring. Yes, thank you for that, Caleb. That looks good up there. we're going to talk about the concept of stirring, and this week, you know, I actually thought I was going to minister along another lines, and actually for a couple of weeks I've been meditating on some other areas of Scripture, but the Lord this week really changed my heart and what I was to minister on. And how He did that, one of the illustrations, the first illustration that came to my heart was my mother-in-law stirring caramel. Years ago, I remember finding out how caramel was made. And I was like, oh gosh, that is crazy. I never knew that. And essentially, caramel is made, and you can correct me, with heavy cream and sugar and butter, but basically a couple simple ingredients. And you could mix those together. You could drink it. You're not going to have caramel. But the caramel comes from being put on the heat and constant stirring. I remember you standing over that pot, I mean, it seemed like forever, stirring and stirring and stirring and stirring, and guess what started to happen? It got more and more solid. Yeah. And so that is the illustration that the Lord gave me for this service tonight, that the more we stir, yes, we're going to be on the heat. There are going to be things in our lives that feel like this is too hot for me to handle. This is too much heat. This is too much pressure. This is too much heat for me right now. I don't want to deal with this trial, right? But the more we stir ourselves up, the more we continue to be stirred, the more solid we become in our faith. And we're going to get into this tonight. Praise the Lord. We all need this. Praise God. So I noticed two key things. Had to be in the heat, and the stirring had to be continual in order for it to be solid. Praise God. Let's look at 2 Peter. I'm going to go to 2 Peter 1. Praise the Lord. The world is filled with constant opportunities for the heat to be turned on. Constant. And the word talks about being stirred. And we're going to get more and more into this as we go. But I just want you to keep that illustration at the forefront of your mind. That it's on the heat, but that continual stirring makes it solid. All right, praise the Lord. So 2 Peter 1, and we're gonna actually read quite a few scriptures here. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant, apostle of Jesus Christ, so he's the one writing this, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that you? Have you obtained? Like precious faith. So this is written to you. And that's the reason I wanted to start right at the beginning there, because this is written to you, to me, to you. Amen. So that means listen, because it applies to you right here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So the more knowledge, and we've been learning in Mayville, if you've been tuning into those services, the more revelation knowledge, the more grace and peace is opened unto our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers, I love this, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the corruption in the world, we could say, this is like the heat, all right? And so the more and more knowledge we get of Him, the more and more knowledge we get of the Word, the more faith gets built into us, and the more we're able to escape that corruption, amen, of the world. But also for this very reason, for this reason, so that we can escape that. We can get out of that heat. We don't have to live in that mess. We don't have to be affected by it. Yes, we live on this earth, but we are not of this earth. Amen. We are partakers of the divine nature. But also for this very reason, for that reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. This is all stirring, brothers and sisters. Yeah. Yeah. These are the ways we stir ourselves. These are the ways we keep ourselves stirred up for the right thing, that we keep ourselves solid, amen? To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, and they are, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, and this is for us, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You'll be solid, amen. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know I'm reading a lot of scripture, but that should bless us. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, as long as I am in this church, I think it is right, I'm saying this right now, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. It was so important that these things would be reminded to us as brothers and sisters. This is not talking to the world. This is talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I. And this is a reminder that you, the minister's job, part of my job tonight is to stir you up, to make you want to do right for God. And so these things, the perseverance, the kindness, the brotherly kindness and love, the diligence, all these things, that is the job of the pastor, to stir that up in you. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And we're going to see that there's more to it than this. Oh, praise the Lord. I was going to read this in the message, but I don't think I want to read the whole entire thing. The message message is like a paraphrase, almost like a way of telling the Bible in a very common storytelling, like I'm having a conversation. I don't suggest that you study the Message Bible as your primary Bible, but sometimes I will read it side by side because it gives me another understanding. Sometimes, I'm just going to clarify this, sometimes the understanding's incorrect. And so you have to be wise enough to understand, wait a minute, that's something not right about that. So again, I wouldn't constantly read the message as your only Bible. Sure. But it says this, don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given. Complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Each dimension fitting into and developing the others. Praise the Lord. I love this so much. And I'm going to even skip ahead in this passage, still in the message. Because the stakes are so high, even though you're up to date on all this truth and practice it inside and out, I'm not going to let up for a minute in calling you to attention before it. I'm not going to let up for 1 minute in calling you to keep these things at the forefront of your life. It is so easy to be a Christian who just shows up to church because that's just what we do. It is so easy to wear the badge of a Christian, so to speak, to have that title in your life, to say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, but how are we living our lives? What are we doing in our daily lives? Are we constantly reminding ourselves of the way we're supposed to walk with the Lord? Because we need to be. And I'm not going to let up for 1 minute. As much as it's up to me, I'm going to make it quite clear what the Word says for us to do and how to live. And I believe that is the role of a pastor, is stirring up the people, stirring up the sheep to live for the Lord. Amen. To teach us I have a pastor too, to teach us and feed us to live for the Lord. Praise God. Let's look at Romans 10. We're going to get something out of this. And I'm going to say this. It matters that you come here ready to receive the word, because the minister can be here with the direction from the Lord to stir up the people to do what the word says. But if you don't pay attention, if you're tired, if you don't want to listen, then you're not going to get what God intended for you to get out of it. Hallelujah. So Romans 10, 14, we're going to start in, and we know Romans 10, right? We see the salvation scriptures in Romans 10 that we always quote. Praise God. Romans 10, 14, we're going to read. Hallelujah. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" This is right after the salvation scriptures. We know how to get saved, but how do they call on him if they haven't heard or believed? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings and good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." How are you going to get the faith built in you? How are people, you're all here tonight, but there are a lot of seats that are empty in this place. And there are people that need to fill these seats because God has called them here. God did not plant a work for it to go left unfinished. God has, to look out today and see so many seats filled up in this place, I was so blessed. And I knew in my heart, that's what God intends. He intends for people to hear the gospel. And he has sent us here to bring the gospel. And he has sent you here to come here to receive the gospel, to be a doer of the gospel, to live the gospel, to get people, other people, to see your life as a living testimony of what God wants to do for them. But if we won't keep ourselves stirred, if we won't keep ourselves solid, if the heat gets turned up and we just melt, how is anybody else going to learn and live by the testimony that we have brought out there? Because our testimony, if it's weak and it's melted, it's not worth anything. Our testimony on solid ground, our life that looks stable, our life that looks like the scriptures we've been reading, the perseverance, the kindness, the faithfulness, the diligence, the things that God has called us to, those are the things that will bring others in. And we have to be people who are mindful of that as we live our lives. Ephesians 4, let's go to Ephesians 4. Praise the Lord. God can set it up so perfectly. He can call the minister there. He can bring a building to you, a place that you can congregate. He can bring the word. He can deliver a message. But there are so many parts to play in us accomplishing the plan of God. It isn't just the minister. It's not just having a building. It's not just having the Bible. But it's doing it. Amen? All right, so Ephesians 4, and we know these scriptures. We should. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry." Everybody say, I'm a worker for God. You are in the ministry. People think they're not in the ministry unless they stand in a pulpit. You are all ministers, all of you. You're all in the ministry. But do you live like it? Do you live like your ministry is this lost and dying world? Or do you live like maybe someday I'll be in the ministry? Wow. Maybe someday I'll be called to something. You are in the ministry right now. And so you're being equipped even right now, even as I speak, even as I read this scripture, you are being equipped to go out there and fulfill the ministry that you've been called to. It doesn't mean you're going to stand and have thousands of people listening to you at once. It may be one coworker. It may be one neighbor. It may be one person standing behind you at the line at Walmart. It may be one person that's pushing their kid on the swing next to you pushing yours. Yeah. It could be so simple. Wow. And if we don't look around, and if we aren't aware, and if we aren't alert, and if we don't look at ourselves as God looks at us, then we'll miss those opportunities. Then we'll forget that we're out there to be workers for the gospel. We'll forget it. We won't know, and we won't take advantage. And then churches all over will have seats that are empty, and people all over won't know the word, won't know the Lord, won't know salvation. And so you are workers, you're being equipped for the work of the ministry, even right now as we speak, as I speak to you. Praise God. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I have not arrived to perfection. Have you? No. So we need to continually do this, where we continually come, we continually get fed the word. We have everything in our favor, everything set up for us just right. But we have to constantly keep ourselves stirred to that understanding of who we are in this world and what we are called to do. Let's go to 2 Peter Chapter 3. I know we are taking quite a walk through scripture. If I'm being honest, this message is quite different than one I would usually prepare, because my notes are almost entirely scripture tonight, and that's not usual for me. You know, usually my sermons are about 15 pages long. And I'm letting God do what he wants to do here tonight. And that is not because I haven't prepared. This is because this was how it was delivered to me, and this is how it's written down. So all these things that are coming out, this is all God right now. This is not something I have written in my notes. The scriptures I have written, a couple things here and there, but this about you going out and fulfilling those things, this is God delivering this message to you right now. And so take that to heart, because it matters. It matters. 2 Peter 3. Praise the Lord. I just realized I didn't have a clock set, but I think I know where I'm at here. I'll just preach for another hour and a half. No, I won't. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." I am writing you this, Peter says, to stir you up, to remind you, to keep this in your minds, keep this in your life. That's what abiding in the word is, what we read every single week. That's what it's talking about. I'm writing you this word. This word was written to us so we could have a constant reminder of God's plan and intention for our lives, a constant reminder that sits on the shelves of millions of homes. That probably has sat on your shelf for too long at times, yes. Right? That probably there's pages that are wrinkle-free, perfect, and looks like fresh linen. And we are meant to have this be a constant reminder in our lives of what God has called us to do. There is no job too small in the kingdom of God. No job at all. If you are washing a toilet for the Lord, and I know we use that reference a lot, but if you are washing a toilet for the Lord, you are doing something for God. Listen, I washed these toilets today. Yes, I did. I came in here, I knew we were having a service, and I just wanted to make sure it smelled nice and fresh and everything was ready for all the community people that live in this town that lost a loved one, a friend, a family member, that were going to come here and have a service. I wanted them to go into the bathrooms when they were emotional and having that private moment in there. I wanted them to feel clean. I wanted them to see excellence. So I went in there and I cleaned the toilet. And guess what? And now I'm standing in the pulpit and I'm preaching. And this is not, oh, you're so awesome. Look at you. You're so humble. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there is no job too small for God. Doesn't matter. I don't need to stand in this pulpit to be used by God. I don't need that. I need what God has for me to do. And that's what you need as well. And so there will be times and seasons where maybe you feel like you're being used more. And there will be times and seasons where maybe you feel like man, I don't think I'm doing much at all. Are you serving him? Are you looking for every opportunity? And I'm not saying manufacture the opportunity. I'm not saying be fake. I'm not saying you've got this little tally board, you know, at home that says, today I talked to this one person today. I'm going to check it off and prove that I'm doing something for God. No, but if you want to keep a record of who you've talked to, that's a good thing to do. But not in the sense that I'm just checking it off my to-do list. I'm just keeping score. No, but nothing is too small for you to do for God. Nothing is too small. Be willing to do whatever it is that he calls you to do. This is stirring you, brothers and sisters. This is stirring you to be mindful of how you walk and what you live like and who you're purposing after. Are you just purposing after you, or are you purposing after the lost? Hallelujah. Let's look at, we're in 2 Peter. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. Oh, I love this. These, of course, are the scriptures that instantly came to mind when the Lord started dealing with me about stirring. First was this illustration of Carmel, which we should make because it's so good. But I don't need it, but it is good. But then this was the set of scriptures that came next. So let's look at 2 Timothy 1, and you all probably know where I'm going to. It says, I thank God, whom I serve, we're looking at verse 3, with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. This is where the joy comes from. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you, because this faith is already in you. You've been here long enough, every one of you in this room, I don't know who's watching by live stream, but every one of you in this room, you've been in the faith long enough that there's something in you, that there's a level of faith and there's something inside of you. And so this is to all of us. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Listen, that does laying on of hands is good, it's in the word, but that's not all the only way that faith will get in you, right? So that's not just what it's talking about, but it's the principle is to stir up that faith in the inside of you and that gift of what he's put in there for you to accomplish. Praise the Lord. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. The Apostle Paul, Timothy, the apostles of the Bible, these prophets of old, Jesus himself, they were put on the heat. They were put on the fire. And it was up to them to continually stir themselves up according to this knowledge, according to these truths, so that they could stay solid, so that they would not melt, so that they could accomplish, that they could share with me in the sufferings for the gospel. See, when we go through things, it is not because God is not liking us today, he's mad at us. It's because there's something greater on the other side. Your trial is someone else's help. I'll say this again. The testimony through your trial is somebody else's help. The testimony of you getting through when you lost your job and had nothing, or when your house burned down, I'm not wishing that on anybody, or when your child was astray, or when you thought you were going to lose a child, or when you lost a loved one, or when all hell was breaking out in some area of your life and you stood and you continued to stir yourself through it, you standing solid is the testimony that's going to help somebody else get through the same thing. That is what we need to be. We need to be excited, not like, oh yeah, bring on the trial, but excited for it. Oh, I've got a trial in my life. I guess it's time to stir myself up a little bit more. I guess it's time to make sure that I know what God says about this. I guess it's time to get faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I guess it's time to keep going. I guess the trial's coming because the word says it comes for the word's sake. So I guess I better keep going. I guess I better stop crying about it. I mean, tears happen. I cry. I mean, I was crying today in here. I was crying because I was moved with compassion for the people that were here that were hurting. I really was. And for the love of God to share the word with all these people today, that blessed my heart. It moved me with compassion. But I cry at times when I'm going through it. This past year in my physical body, I've dealt with more trial than I ever have in my life. And I cried at times, and I was in pain at times, and I couldn't get up at times, and I was curled up in a ball at times, and I wanted to quit many, many, many times and just say, I don't want to live in this life if this is what I have to deal with. But I knew it was coming to take me out. I knew it was coming to get me to be quiet. I knew it was coming to get my family to have to go without, or my husband to have to suffer because I'm dealing with stuff and I'm no longer a help to him. You know, and all those things that come along with it. I knew what it was there for, but it didn't make it any less painful. It didn't make it any less real. But I had to go through it. And how did I go through it? Kept showing up to church, kept feeding myself with sermons, kept getting in the Word, kept making sure that I surrounded myself with the right voices, the right influence. That is stirring. That is how we do it. Praise God. Hebrews 10. Praise the Lord. I hope you're getting something out of this. I hope you are being stirred. I hope you are feeling like, you know what? Yes, I can do this. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what that scripture's all about? All things in his plan. All things he's called you to do. So when the devil says you can't, you can say, yes, I can, because I'm endeavoring to walk in his plan. You won't be perfect. Sometimes you'll get over here in the weeds a little bit. Sometimes you might get scratched with some prickers. But you'll always get back on his plan if you continually seek after him. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:22, we're going to start in. I love the word. I do. I just love the word of God. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us, everybody say, I have to do this. I like to make you talk, you know why? Because I know you're listening. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Oh my gosh, now we're talking about considering one another and stirring up one another. That's interesting, because at first we're talking about you need to stir yourself up, but look at in the Word that there is a purpose for us stirring each other up. And it says, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I'm really interested in Bible studies and different things, and so there's lots of things that I come across in a week. And one this week I was listening to, I just got a small clip of it, and it wasn't a minister, it was a Christian, and he was talking about that you don't need to assemble together to be Christians, and there's really no purpose in coming to a church. Like, you could just go out to lunch with somebody and that's enough. Okay, that's great. That is good. And I don't think we do enough of that kind of fellowship within the body of Christ. I really don't. I think that people could reach out and be more friendly with one another. I do believe that that's important. The Word talks about iron sharpening iron, and it's good to surround yourselves even in that casual kind of atmosphere with people of like precious faith. But there is something very important of the about the assembling together of the brethren. And what that is when every part, every member does its share and comes together, the whole body is functioning. And there is an exhorting that goes on. There's a stirring that goes on. I'll tell you that if you've been going through something, but you come into an atmosphere where people are hungry for God, where people are praising the Lord, where people seem to be happy and excited for the testimony of God in their life, you can't help but to feel a little bit better. To get a little more pep in your step. I like to use that term. I like a little pep in your step. I think we should walk around with a pep in your step. You ever go to like Home Depot or Wegmans or something? Wegmans, I think about this a lot in Lakewood because I go there a lot. They always have the music playing outside. Sometimes it's not good music, but sometimes it's just the right like rhythm to get a little pep in your step. And you just feel a little better about yourself. I think we should always be singing songs of the Lord and singing this word in our heads and in our hearts, that we just always walk around with that little pep in our step. I am who God made me to be. I got power. I got authority. I can do this. I can live this life. I can get through this trial. I can be a light to somebody else. That's more important than what we're living with. The light to somebody else is more important, praise God. We should stir up love and good works within each other. The word here, stir, in this scripture, it literally means incitement to good. Wow. Inciting you to good. We hear like, they incited this. He was inciting these people to do this. Stirring is incitement. It's inspiring. It's encouragement to do good. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. So when we assemble together or when we live our lives, we should not only want to stir up and incite ourselves to live right and to do good, but also each other. So when you see a brother or sister going through it or struggling or seeming like they're just maybe a little disinterested, incite them to do good. Hey, remember when God did this for you? Remember when you went through that trial? Tell me again. Get them to tell you their testimony, even if you know it. Tell me again what happened when, you know, you were going through that. Tell me again. I'll tell you one. Listen, this is how it works. And then you know what? When you see somebody going through something, tell them again your testimony, even if they don't ask you for it. Tell them again. You know, when I was pregnant for Ezra, I'm going to do this. I'm going to demonstrate. What Jesus did, he gave us very, very practical, applicable knowledge and understanding and practical wisdom. When I was pregnant for Ezra, I was like 26 weeks pregnant, and I was told that there was no amniotic fluid left in the womb. And I was like, is that okay? What does that mean? You know? And they were real nice and sweet, but they said, you need to go home and lay down and do not do anything, and you need to get to a specialist. I will make you an appointment right away. And so I did. I went home. I listened. I tried to not be in fear about it, but of course the thoughts came. But you know, my husband, he called. He told me this later on. He called a maternity, long-term maternity nurse that was close family, family friend. And she said, it's not good. It's probably, I just want you to be prepared, probably not going to make it. And of course, that was really challenging for him. He didn't want to tell me that. And he didn't want to hear it himself, you know. But so we just continued to trust God, and we continued to stand on the word, and we refused negative talk around us. I didn't go around telling everyone. They said, I'm going to lose my baby. They said, she's not going to live. They said, they're not going to be able to save her. I didn't go around saying that to anybody. I did what the doctor told me. I put natural wisdom in place. That's important, you guys. I put natural wisdom in place. I put natural things to practice, but I did the word. Nope. And I listened to healing scriptures all the time. And I said, she shall surely live and not die. And we knew, and I reminded myself of the day that God told me that I was going to have a daughter and that her name was going to be Ezra. I reminded myself of that day. I was sitting in the back of the church in our old building before our church had built a new building. I was sitting towards the back row, and we were serving and working somehow in the church. My husband was, and I was sitting there, and I was just, I think I'll read my Bible. And as I opened it up, I opened up the book of Ezra, and the Lord said in my heart, Ezra, you're going to have a daughter, and her name is Ezra. And we knew that we were having a daughter. 9 months later, I got pregnant. Okay, so this was before I was even pregnant or even thinking, you know, that I had a baby coming. And so the Lord showed me that I was going to have Ezra. So I reminded myself that this is Ezra, and the Lord promised her to me and told me that she was going to be mine. And so we stood in faith, and we waited for the appointment. That was 2 weeks later. And you know what happened? We went to that appointment, and they said, why are you here? And I said, because they said there's no amniotic fluid, and she said, everything's perfect. There's nothing wrong at all. And so then I share that testimony with people, because then they're going through it, and when they hear that about my situation and how we refuse to let the devil steal from us, that helps somebody. It stirs them up. It encourages them. And see, you do the same thing in your life. There's got to be something God has done for you, yeah. Right? Is there something? Because if not, you have to ask, have I looked around? Yeah. Have I paid attention? Because he's done something for you. And so you stir people up. You incite them for good. You incite them for faith. You incite them in love and the grace and the mercy of God and the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Yes. So if we want to stir each other up, stir your brothers and sisters up in the Lord. Stir them up. Remind them of their testimony. Remind them of your testimony. This is what we need to live like. Other meanings of this word stir is moving briskly, active, causing great excitement, emotion, or rousing. Stirring is not stale. Stirring is active. It's keeping your faith alive all the time. That is important. You go to work, you're tired. You have things you have to come home and do, you're tired. You might be raising kids, you're tired. You might have things you have to get accomplished at your house, you're tired. I get it. I'm tired. I feel it. I mean, the older I get, the more I understand what tired means. But we constantly have to remind ourselves that life is not just about this life in the flesh, but what we are here to do for God. And there are moments, you guys, that we all fail. There are moments where we all struggle and we should have been stirring ourselves up and we let the devil get in, we got in a bad fight with our spouse, or we yelled at our kids and treated them a little too harsh, or we, you know, hopefully you're not flicking people off in traffic, but probably some of you probably do sometimes, because that's what people do. People struggle with these areas of life. But we shouldn't live in that mess. Yeah. We shouldn't live in the place where we keep falling short. We should live in the place where we keep stirring up. Amen? Yeah. I was thinking about this. Consider, this is what I woke up with this morning. Consider all the things that we stir in life. This is good. These were just things that were dropping in my heart this morning. We stir batter to get the lumps out.
Yeah.
Right? You make pancakes, you make a cake. You stir it, and you stir it, and stir it, and have no problem stirring it to get the lumps out because you want that cake to turn out right. Easy. Easy practice. We stir paint to make sure the consistency is what we need and that it goes on without blemish. Easy. We're very used to these things. We essentially stir up the ground every time we want to plant something and expect a harvest. We stir up that ground. And we don't expect those seeds to have a place to take root. Easy, easy practices. Stirring, I have this written down, is very instinctive. It's a very basic practice. It's the first thing you teach a child to do in the kitchen, right? You can stand next to me and go ahead, you can help me stir this. You can help me stir this dough. You can help me stir this batter. This is how you do it. You teach them right away, really little kids. Yeah. We teach how to stir. We stir all the time, all kinds of things in life. Yeah. I encourage you that every time you have to stir something, that it reminds you, hey, I should be doing this with my spiritual life. Yeah. I should be doing this with myself right now, spiritually speaking. It is very easy, very instinctive, very basic, this practice of stirring. And it should likewise be very easy, very basic, this practice of stirring ourselves up in the promises of God, in the things of God, in the testimony that we have, in the faith that is only found through his word. It should be very easy for us. Look what I found when I looked up the word stirring online. It says, those of us that have been cooking for many years stir our ingredients with little or no consideration for the actual act of stirring. It's so instinctive. In reality, there is more to it than just sticking a spoon in the bowl and wiggling it around a bit. And if you've been cooking for a while, you know there's actually, you know when you're done stirring. And likewise, you should know when you're done stirring. And I'll say this, if you're still going to bed and 3 hours have gone by and you're still thinking about that trouble you're dealing with that person at work, you didn't stir yourself up enough in love. You didn't. And if you're still going to bed or you're waking up in the morning, the first thing that you're thinking about is how you got to pay bills and you don't know how you're going to physically do it because you don't have the money to do it. You haven't stirred yourself up enough in the provision of God. And if you wake up on a Saturday afternoon after your Saturday nap or a Sunday morning before you go to church and you're like, I don't need to go to church today. I think I would just get more rest if I stayed home. Then you haven't stirred yourself up enough in the importance of gathering together. Do you see where I'm going? If you know, if you're a cook, anybody like to cook in here? Yeah, look at that. You all know how to stir. You all know how to stir already. So if you start stirring, you can stir a little bit. You can get that dry flour with your eggs and your vanilla and your like milk or something or oil. You could leave it there and you could go, okay, throw it in a pan, bake it in the oven, and you're gonna get junk, right? I was gonna use a different word, but you are. You're gonna get a really bad cake. Yeah. But if you put it in there and you keep stirring it and you make sure none of that dry flour is in there and those egg yolks are broken, ew. What if you didn't stir it and you got a yolk in the middle of your cake and you tried to serve that up to somebody? They would be like, ew, I don't want your cake. Well, what do you think is happening when you don't stir yourself up spiritually and you go out there and you serve up your testimony, your cake, and it's got this nasty old yolk in the middle because you didn't stir it up enough, and they're like, oh, the real thing in the center of all that isn't really good. We want to be so stirred that when we serve up our life and our testimony, people see it and they're like, oh my gosh, this tastes so good. Why is your life so good? I want some of that. Can you tell me more? Can you tell me a little more about how do I get that life? We know how to stir. If you cooked ever, if you have a child, if you've ever given them that wooden spoon and you've told them to stir up, you know, the cotton balls or whatever you're doing to teach them how to stir, why do we do that? We really do teach our kids how to stir so early. I think that's pretty awesome because I think that just shows all of us that it's very basic. Yeah. Stirring is a simple concept, but it does require that you know when and where to stir. You don't stir everything, you know? Some things aren't meant to be stirred. I love these drinks. I take espresso and tonic water and some citrus. They serve them at coffee shops in the South. They're like my favorite thing. I put my ice in there. I pour my tonic water in there. I take my little shot of espresso, and I pour it on top. You are not supposed to stir it. It gets better and better as it sits there and all the espresso goes down. It gets better and better and better. If I stir it, it doesn't taste good. It really doesn't. If I leave it like the way it was meant to be, it tastes really good to me. So that wasn't meant to be stirred. Some things we know are meant to be stirred, so you need to get skillful in when you need more stirring and when you're doing good. Because if you just really love scriptures about I don't know, money, maybe people do because they like to think that God is going to pour out that Lamborghini, I don't know. Yeah. So, but you already are trusting God and you already have all this faith about finances, but meanwhile you're treating people bad, your health is falling apart. You don't need to keep stirring yourself up in that area of finances. You need to stir yourself up in this area and this area and this area. So we need to know when and where to stir ourselves up. We need to be aware. The word talks about all the time, and we just did it when we did communion, examining ourselves. Whether or not we are in the faith, right? Examine ourselves. Which area of my life, where and when do I need to stir it up? And when and where do I need to stir up other people? Hallelujah. Stirring up of one another is for good works. It's to keep us living the way God intended us to live and to keep our faith renewed. And really, it all boils down to us being able to win the lost and fulfill this plan of God, the Great Commission. Because you know that if you're not happy, no one around you is going to want what you have.
That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, Galatians 6:9. Don't turn. Yeah, you can turn there. Galatians 6:9. Yeah. Hallelujah. Please never serve me a cake with a yolk in the middle. I think that is a taste that I could never get beyond. Oh, praise the Lord. Although people do eat cookies with whole eggs in them, I think. I don't know. Anyway, Galatians 6:9-10, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good. Really what that is let us not get to the place where we are melting and not solidified and not being solid in our faith. Let's not get to that place. Let us not be weary. Let us not grow weary while we're walking out this plan of God. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I love that the word says this, especially to all those who are of the household of faith. It is our role as Christians and fellow believers that we are especially good and especially mindful of the other members of the body of Christ. We should show favor to other Christians. We should. We should be good to Christians. We should, you know, we do go places, but it's uncanny how we always run into a Christian, it seems like, somewhere. And you can always tell, or not always, but you should be able to. And it's so interesting because there's just this almost instant bond that you have when you know someone else is a believer. Has anybody ever felt that? You're like, you find out that someone you work with is also a Christian, or someone at school is a Christian, and you're like, we're on the same team. We're rooting for the same thing. We have the same goal and the same heart and mind. It doesn't matter if we believe everything the same way, but we're on the same team. We should have that affinity towards other believers. It should matter to us that we're together and we're on a team. You should be cheering for them and rooting for them and helping them succeed. That's what the word's talking about. Give, especially do good to those who are of the household of faith. Especially assemble together and stir up each other. Especially do this. We're especially called to exhort and to stir up those in our body. First, those we're connected to locally, but also overall. You know, you find out somebody's a Christian, and you treat them good. You treat everybody good, but you know what? You honor that covenant, because God has a covenant with us, but we also have a covenant with one another. And if you've been married, if you are married, you understand covenant. What's theirs is mine, mine is theirs. That doesn't mean you let everybody walk in and out of your house freely, but that means if you've got something that you can help them with, you do it, because that's what we're called to do. All right, let's look at Hebrews again in chapter, actually, yeah, where do I want to go? Oh, yes, let's do this. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Yeah, praise God. We're just going to talk about how we're going to continue to stir ourselves up here, how we do it. These are just ways to do it. It says in Hebrews 13, 15 through 18, it says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So when we're going through it, Lord, I know you're better. I know you're good. I know that you're merciful. I know that you've seen me through to the other side many times. I know you'll continue to do so. We continually go before God and offer the sacrifice of praise, especially when we're going through it. Especially when it doesn't feel like good to do it, when it doesn't feel like we want to, when you're curled up in a ball in pain because you're dealing with a sickness in your body. That is the time that you muster up everything on the inside of you to let God know that you're still thankful, that you still trust him, that you still believe in his goodness. That's when you do it. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Praise the Lord. And it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And it says here, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. Listen, part of your role as somebody in a congregation in a sheepfold is to pray for your pastors, to pray for your leaders. And when the word says submit and that they rule over you, listen, no minister is called to be the Lord of your life. That's not what it's talking about, because that is not our job, to go and to say, you do this and you do this and you do this and you're not allowed to do this. Not allowed. We present the word to you. We report and you decide. But really, if you are called to be a part of a local church, you should hook up with the pastors. You should pray for them. You should be a help to that local body. You should assist. You should want to do good. You shouldn't want to make things harder. Amen? And that's really what it's talking about. But it says, do good and share, because those sacrifices are well-pleasing to God. And all of this is about stirring, you guys. It's all about stirring each other up and being willing to be the person that lifts somebody else up when they're dealing with it. Or to be the person that's constantly ready to be ready to give an account, right? Ready to answer anything at any time. Be ready to give an account. Be ready to tell anybody your testimony at any time. It's going to require you to constantly be stirred and filled up, constantly. Hallelujah. I have to skip ahead because there's so much here. Praise the Lord. The word addresses ministers stirring up the people, Christians stirring up one another, and Christians stirring up themselves. And that's important for us to understand. God is never one person does it all. He's never been like that. My gosh, God is three persons. He's never been one person does it all. He's all about, and his word is all about, everybody comes together and everybody does their share. So he talks about that. It is your job to stir yourself up. It's your job to stir others up. It's your job to be stirring to your pastor. You know, that's part of the one another. It is our role to stir ourselves up, to stir each other up, to stir, you know, your minister, your pastor up. It's important. Amen. And the reason for it is to keep the faith and for good works. So we need each other in order to be effective. And I'm telling you right now that this is a good work. God started this work 4 years ago. And if we look around and we think all about natural, how many numbers of people have come? How many numbers of people are connected? How is it able to stand on its own two feet yet? We could get discouraged. We could think that God's not in it. But God is in it. We know he's in it. And we faithfully come back and we faithfully preach the word because we know God's in it. We don't get paid to come down here and preach the word. This church doesn't profit me anything physically, tangibly, but it profits me to fulfill the plan of God. It profits our life to be doers of the word of God. And it profits your life the same way. And so I encourage you, listen, I know that it's a Saturday service, and the reason for that is because we can't be in two places at once. And I know that people work, and I know that you're tired at the end of the week, and I know that there's things that you want to accomplish on a nice summer day, and I know there's all these natural things of life. But if we won't be stirred, we're going to come to the service, and we're not going to get half of what God's got for us to get, because we're not hungry, because we're all filled up and we're all distracted with everything else in life. And we have to be really mindful of that. And I'm going to tell you this. As a minister, when you stand in a pulpit and people are tired and people are falling asleep and people are not interested, it makes it really, really hard. And I will tell you this, because I love you all and I love my husband and I love our pastor and I love the local church. There have been times where that has been the case, and my husband has had to go right home and go to bed, and he is still tired Tuesday morning when he wakes up. And that is our role, brothers and sisters. We need to keep ourselves stirred, because if we're not stirred, we show up to church and we're sharing that cake with the yolk in the middle. And guess what? We're all partaking of it, whether you think somebody else is eating that cake or not. What comes in on your face? What comes in your, you know, the way you carry yourself? What comes in the tone when you talk to people, or whether or not you do talk to people? These things all show up, and they all affect everyone in the room, whether you realize it or not. Have you ever been in a room and somebody's just been really nasty? Like, somebody in the room hates everybody, and nobody dares to talk? Because you're like, they hate everybody, I don't want to say a word. How does that feel? Awful, awkward, get me out of here as fast as I can get out of here. I just want to encourage you never to be that person. Don't be that person. And the way you stay, you keep yourself from being that person, is you keep yourself stirred up. You keep yourself stirred up. You spend time with God throughout the week. Let's pull up Matthew 5, 6 in the Amplified. We have to live this practically. I'm just sharing with you my heart because I believe it helps us, you guys. I believe that God's plan is for us to all go do this work together. So we all have to be on the same page. We all have to have the same heart. I'm not saying don't spend time doing the things you have to do in life. You have to do them. But if you can get that nap before service, if you can get that half hour where you just spend some time worshiping God or getting into the Word, if you can do that, I'm telling you, people will know it. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference for your pastor. It'll make a difference for the people around you, and it'll certainly make a difference for you. Matthew 5, 6 in the Amplified, it says, blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous, meaning in the state in which the born again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And righteousness here is uprightness and right standing with God. For they shall be completely satisfied. So as we keep ourselves hungry, as we keep ourselves stirred up, we get completely satisfied. I love it. It affects others, but we get blessed. So the little bit, you know, if you do it now, you'll be blessed for it later. You ever heard that? You tell your kids, oh, you're going to be so happy if you clean your room. You are, I'm telling you. When you go to bed at night and your room is clean and your bed is made and you have fresh sheets and you have all your toys picked up and you have your clothes where they need to be, you are gonna be so happy. Yes. You're gonna go to bed at night and you're gonna be like, she was right, but I don't dare to tell her. And that's what you guys are going to be saying with me. You're going to be like, she was right. I don't want to tell her. No. She was right. I stirred myself up. I do feel better today. I do. I am receiving more as I'm coming into the Word. You know, if you put some scriptures in regularly, the Lord can draw them out.
Yes.
See, but if you put nothing in, nothing can draw out. You ever sit in a service and you all of a sudden a scripture is shared and you're like, that reminds me of this other scripture. You know why you're getting that? Because you put some scriptures in you. And if you haven't done that, there's nothing to draw out. And so this is what it is. Scriptures will stir up other scriptures. They'll stir up the faith. They'll stir up your understanding, your revelation knowledge. So the more you put in, the more time you spend, the more you're going to get. The more the completely satisfied you're going to be. Amen? All right. Where can I... Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go. I have to skip down. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let's go there. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And I'm getting close to closing. Praise the Lord. I love this passage of scripture. Oh, yeah, there's so much. We know that we seek God first. And we're gonna be filled. We're not gonna hunger. We're not gonna thirst for anything natural if we continually put God at the top and trust him. We trust him, he'll supply. We know these things. We know this. We know that God laid down his life, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and that he's called us to lay down our life for him. We hear these scriptures. We know them. I want to read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Gosh, there's so much in this script, in this set of scriptures. You know, some people have different understandings or concepts or theories or revelation about what that cloud of witnesses is. In my heart, I believe, according to scripture, that is, you know, that this Bible, that this book is filled with witnesses [S2] Yes. [S1] Of the goodness of God. And so we have this testimony that is in us, that we can continually get in us, that will continually allow us to look back to that testimony. And since we have that, like I said, that sharing of the testimony, it continually can stir us up and keep us and incite us to do good ourselves. Because we have this testimony and all these accounts, these witness accounts that tell us all the good things God will do for us as we trust him. So it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. You know, not all sins are like really easy to recognize. Some sins are just, I knew I was supposed to spend time with God, and I didn't. And that, who knows to do right and doesn't, it is a sin. Some sins are like, I know I was supposed to rest, but I really wanted to make that extra money, so I took on that side job, and I worked all day, and I didn't get rest, and I didn't spend time with God. That's a sin. Because if we know to do right, and we don't do it, I'm not saying you can't take a side job. I'm saying if God led you to rest, then it's important we do that. But it says, let us lay those things down, those weights. Of course, the sins. I don't need to tell you what things are sins. You know, you all know what a sin is. It's the things that are the little things that we don't think. You know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the whole, right? The little foxes that we don't think about. And so it says here, lay aside every weight and those sins that so easily ensnare us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, when you think about a race, what do you think about? Running with the intent of winning. So do you just go like, hey guys, I think I'll let you run by. If you do, you're not going to win. You're not going to win your race. So when you're racing, there's a sense of urgency. And there should also be a sense of urgency in us, that when we know to do right, we are urgent to do that. That nothing else comes in the way of us doing right. That nothing else comes in the way of us fulfilling the plan. Amen? A race is something that if you participate in and you want to win, you'll have a sense of urgency and you'll keep that pep in your step. Amen? That pep in your step, and you'll keep yourself stirred up. All right, so I'm going to end. I'm going to read the scripture again. We're going to pull it up. 2 Timothy 1:6. Again, I'm going to go back to that in the Amplified this time. Because I really believe that you've gotten, I hope that this has stirred you and helped you understand really what you should be doing on a regular basis here. All right, 2 Timothy 1:6 in the Amplified. It says, "That is why I would remind you to stir up," listen, "rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of laying on of my hands, which those with those of the elders at your ordination." Of course, this is talking to a pastor, but everything that a pastor is called to do, the word calls you to be a Christian too. Calls you to stir it up too. You know, you ever go camping and you go to bed at night and maybe you're going to cook breakfast over the fire in the morning and the fire's out, what's usually remaining? Some embers, some hot coals. Can you get those reignited? Yeah. You can, right? But it takes some stirring. It takes you rekindling that. And so sometimes we get to that point where it looks like the fire's kind of gone out a little bit on the inside of us. We're not so excited anymore as we were once were. We're not so stirred up to do, you know, right? We kind of get more in our own world again like we used to before we knew Jesus. We're, you know, distracted in our own stuff again. It takes that stirring. Let's rekindle those flames. Let's get that fire going again. And a message like this should encourage you to do that. Where are those areas of my life that I haven't been stirring up enough? Where are those things that I need to, those weights I need to lay down so I can run again? Amen? I encourage you to do this. Start with yourself, but then remember to stir up others as well. Amen?